Saturday
at the Baltimore Convention Center. Otakon Explosion.
Optimus Prime vs. Ava 1.
Gal Gigar vs. Brigadoon. Doctor Who vs. Transformers.
This piece of string vs. tape.
Watch Artist Alley participants in an all-out battle royale.
Note, none of the above actually happened.
Man, but if it did... Oh my god, if it did, that would be like... That would be a bad and often, at the same time, epic Otakon, except for the tape versus string.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that.
You made that up.
That was one badass piece of tape, though. That piece of tape was kicking ass and taking names.
All right, we got our randomness out already.
Maybe you did. I've got an unending supply.
That is true, Mr. Toast.
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 Don't ask. It's like a meme between us. I'm sorry for doing inside jokes. Well, we had the Breakfast of Gods on Saturday.
Yeah, see, back when I went, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, my friends and I had this tradition of, on Sunday morning, going to the Marriott for their kick-ass breakfasts. Because they have this big breakfast buffet with an omelet station and everything. And we couldn't do that this year because, well, I mean, none of my friends came. But V and I couldn't do that this year because there was something we wanted to go to on Sunday that we're going to talk about when we get to Sunday.
Oh my god, yes!
And the fact that I got to go means that my sister now wants me to die.
Oh my god, yes!
But, so we did it on Saturday, and it was pretty awesome.
Wow, that breakfast lasted me up until, like, early evening.
Yeah, it lasted me until, like, 5.
Yeah, but anyway, we split up. I jumped into basic Photoshop. I know Photoshop already, I just wanted to see how they were handling it. And they have a computer lab at Otakon, I'm not sure if you know. Which I thought was awesome for them to get all those computers. Maybe they rented them or they own them and store them someplace. But yeah, computer lab so you could do panels like that. And I think that's a really good thing. And yeah, the only thing that would make it better if they were all hooked up to internet and when there was no panel going on in that room, you just opened it up and had a few people watching it. So, you know, make sure no one's basically looking at hentai at the wrong time.
And I went by the manga library, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I jumped in there for a second and then, you know, I just kind of left. Somebody looked at me weird when I jumped in. I was like, what the fuck? Well, anyway, how was the manga library? Just okay?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They had a lot of stuff, but they pretty much only had one copy of everything. So if somebody was reading the thing you wanted to read... Yeah. And you couldn't... What they did was they handed you a manga, and then they took your badge and wrote down which manga you had. And you couldn't get your badge back until, you know, you gave them their book back.
Which makes sense, to keep people from taking library stock.
Yep.
I mean, I like
anime... And you couldn't take it out of the room.
I like Anime USA's library, but that's only because when I looked around at their selection, they had a bigger selection. And let's see... While you did that, well, while we split up, I'm not sure what did you do.
I eventually went to Ambush Anime RPGs, which was cool. It was these two guys that were basically just like, you can make, you do not need Besom to put anime in your RPGs. You can put any anime into any role-playing system with a little imagination. That was, like, their thing. So what they did was they had people in the audience shout out, like, the name of an anime and the name of a system. And then they just, right there on the spot, start explaining how to do it. But they didn't take my challenge. I asked them, how would you do Azumanga Daioh in D&D?
Maybe you could do Azumanga Daioh with Burning Wheel.
Probably. But they were like, we haven't watched enough. And somebody else was like, okay, lucky star in Vampire the Masquerade.
I'd never even heard of that.
Vampire the Masquerade?
Nah.
It's the gothiest goth game ever gothed.
That's probably why I never heard of it, because I'm not goth.
It sucks ass. Pretty much anything made by White Wolf that isn't Exalted sucks ass. You heard it. The World of Darkness sucks ass. Vampire the Masquerade sucks ass. I don't just mean the new Vampire the Masquerade. I mean the pre-2000 Vampire the Masquerade sucks ass. And if you think it was a cool game, then you're a goth loser who needs to get out of your parents' basement, take off your goddamn black makeup, get a little sun.
Get off of MySpace.
Get off of MySpace and figure out, no, you are not actually a vampire.
But, dude, don't you know the Camarilla Court will get you?
Anyway, though, their answer to how to do Lucky Star in Vampire the Masquerade was three Mulcavians walk into a bar.
Wow. But, dude, you know no one's going to know what that gothy goth game you know you just said is, because most people only know D&D.
That was what most of what they did, was doing various things in D&D. And they were like, the two things to remember are, first of all, you can do it if you just think about it. If you just take what the character's abilities are, and you can do it in pretty much any system. The other thing is to remember that, you know, like power levels and stuff. You cannot start your campaign as Goku. All right?
That makes
Goku,
sense.
Goku, as much as Dragon Ball Z sucks, Goku is a, you know,
God-modded bitch character.
God-modded bitch character. So you're going to have to be like level 30 if you want to play as Goku. In, you know, D&D or whatever.
What if you start from Dragon Ball up when it was just Kid Goku?
I have no idea. I haven't seen... My entire knowledge of Dragon Ball comes from, you know...
What?
Hearing about it and the occasional AMV. I have no fucking idea what happens in Dragon Ball.
But you've seen Dragon Ball Z?
I've seen some Dragon Ball Z.
I've seen a lot of Dragon Ball Z.
Enough to know that you can sum up any Dragon Ball Z episode as, last time on Dragon Ball Z. And now, today's Dragon Ball Z. Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Wow. Super Shonen Yell FTW. But yeah, Dragon Ball, I actually saw a few episodes of that. I actually liked it, although I think I could only see very few of it if it follows the shonen formula. I can't watch the entire thing.
I'm honestly not a big fan of shonen stuff. Dude, I love Yakutate Japan.
Dude, there's a lot of people who aren't a fan of shonen stuff. I'm not a big fan of it, but
Yakutate Japan is awesome because it's got enough crack. If you stuff enough crack into a shonen show, it can be awesome.
Yeah. I think I can see your theory there. But I gave up on shonen shows after DBZ.
Seriously, any show in which people use baking to travel through time, blow up planets, and so on.
Spoiler alert!
Is an awesome, awesome
spoiler alert. Show.
Okay, fine. Spoiler alert. They do insane over-the-top stuff with baking.
Yeah, they do. Oh, man, I remember at Katsucon, I was walking past, and there was this guy making bread in cosplay.
That is awesome.
He actually had dough. He was kneading dough in his cosplay, just making bread. I was like, you gonna bake that? I said, might as well. That man won a million internets without even being online.
That man wins the con.
Anyway, that was at Katsucon, but this is Otakon. And I went to, I think I could say this is my first industry panel I went to, which was Bandai. And that was boring. That was really boring. And the only reason I went to there was something before it. It was Bang Zoom. I went to that one, and I stayed around for some of the Bandai, because they said they can't show the Gurren Lagann bloopers because Bandai wanted to, and Bandai didn't. And I was like, man, fuck this. I walked out and ran into Gerald on the way. I was like, man, industry panels are boring. You know, we had a conversation, and then I think I split up to find you or something, or do something. Then I went to Kadokawa Pictures because they gave out flyers out when I was standing in line for something else. And it was Haruhi giveaway. Or was that when I ran into Gerald and said, I think that was it, because I always said I was there for the haruhi, to tell the truth. I heard they were giving out haruhi, but it was only the people who asked questions, and I didn't have a question to ask. So it's like, I couldn't just stand up and ask a stupid question for a prize. That's just stupid. That's the only problem. If you really want something they're giving out, you'll have to stand up and ask something stupid. And I didn't want to ask anything stupid that I could easily find out on Google. And when it comes to Q&A sessions, like in Peter Fonetta's one, there's always certain types that ask questions. The one who puts the super intelligent essay before it, but then asks a stupid question. Playing out stupid questions. The ones who have a life story and stupid questions. What other types? What other types are there? Help me think.
Well, I just remember the person who was like, what inspired you when you were working on...
Oh, yes!
Peter Fernandez kicks ass.
The inspired questions. A bad question to ask anyone. What is your inspiration? Peter Fernandez said, money. What is anyone's inspiration? Money. If I ever have a Q&A...
No.
Not everyone...
Some people are inspired because they want chicks.
Oh, good. Sex. If it's not money, it's sex. I'm sorry, but asking someone's inspiration is a crap question. And fuck you if you, like, say anything otherwise. In your ass. Let me add that. I'm a bad person, aren't I?
Seriously, what's up with that question? Are they, like, hoping that, like, they'll find out what their inspiration is and then they'll be able to, like, go and get some or what? It's a stupid-ass question.
I don't know. Anyway, I went to the Kadokawa one just to get some haruhi giveaway. I didn't feel like asking a stupid question just to get a haruhi prize. So I just, you know, went away. But I heard Bandai had a, like, Bandai panel surprise something going on, which I didn't go to because I didn't feel like it. But I heard online that I think Jam Project showed up and they did a Lucky Star Dance. Everyone did a Lucky Star Dance. Lucky Star Dance is FTW. Even though... Oh yeah, I do have to explain myself because I decided to give it another chance. And then when I told Jet, he's like, I'm disowning you. Don't nod. You have to... Don't nod at me. Screw you.
Screw you.
In the background, he's just giving me that look of, you bastard. But yes, it's a mixture of... Well, I do like the song Dance and Kanata, but it was a mixture of talking to Aaron Nguyen about and I think that episode of AW1 they reviewed Lucky Star. Although I still hate those character designs. You should not be in high school and look like a 5-year-old.
No. The only thing worse than high school students that look like 5-year-olds in anime is 8-year-olds that look like, you know, 19-year-olds that have had breast enlargement surgery.
No, I didn't. Never saw that.
Okay, normally they're more like 12. But okay. Still, well, you've got the 12-year-olds that look like, you know, heavily modified 19-year-olds. That's not right.
Yeah, I think I went to... After that, I dropped into the AMV contest.
And here's where we need to talk about what happened with the AMV contest, because we found out what actually happened. You might have heard they showed the fan... parodies on Friday night.
No, not the fan parodies. That's a different thing.
Not the fan parodies.
The trailer parody. The trailer section. Parody section of the AMVs. You know, with the Beauty and the Baka, which I saw on YouTube, which was awesome. That should have... If they did choose a winner, that could have been the winner.
They didn't show them again for the rest of the con. And if anybody asked, they said it was... They were advised by their lawyers not to, and they didn't pick a winner.
Yeah,
and,
legal reasons.
Yeah, legal reasons. And we found out why. It's because some fucktard...
Don't put call him a fucktard. That was
he's
an
a
awesome,
fucktard.
It was an awesome AMV, though.
Yeah. Too bad he fucked everybody over with. It was a good AMV. It was the sound from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And yeah. It was Akira.
Yeah, and... trademark issues.
Yeah, the WB. Fucktard. The fucktard put the WB logo at the beginning of the trailer.
I disagree with calling me a fucktard because
he
didn't know.
You cannot put other people's logos on your stuff. You can parody their stuff, but if you put their logo on, you're violating their trademark, and you can parody people. That protects you from copyright law, with parody, but you can't do that with trademarks.
But don't call him a fucktard because Otakon did not make a rule against it. There's a rule against that for Artist Alley stuff, but being that this is the first time they had that section, they just didn't really think about that. So it's really Otakon's kind of a ball drop for them not think of every possible rule. But it wouldn't be unfair to just disqualify him. So they just took out the whole section, and didn't judge it, because then it would also be kind of unfair to everyone who did participate in that section. And those who did, some of that stuff was cool. I think the Pee Wee Herman AMV was awesome. The Beauty and the Baka, I saw that about 20 times. Because it was the Beauty and the Beast audio, the trailer audio, and Fruits Baskets. That was awesome. And was there anything else we saw in that trailer? Because we looked on YouTube.
Those are the only two I saw.
Those are the only two that's on YouTube.
Or at least the only two that were on YouTube last weekend.
It's still there.
No, I know. I'm saying there might be more now.
Yeah, but I checked yesterday. I didn't see much. Anyway, why don't we just download them after we're done with this and see the winners of the contest we haven't seen. All right. Then I went to see you after Ambush Anime RPGs while you were debating with these three people.
Oh, yeah. I got sucked into it. That wasn't debating. That was us showing off our awesome gaming stories. I told them my stories from the time I DM'd a Slayer's D20 game. I told them about the time my friend Cyrus's character jumped out of an airship to punch Godzilla in the head.
I'm going to translate that into nerd, 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 RPG nerd, 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 RPG nerd, nerd.
Yeah, let's see you jump out of an airship to punch Godzilla in the head, all right?
Hey, fuck you! But, yeah, they were all showing off their gaming cocks.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I can't say anything because I'm sure I showed off my otaku cock more than once to people.
You have a podcast.
Shut the fuck up! Oh man, I should use that in a promo.
You totally should. The whole thing.
Yes.
Ending with, shut the fuck up!
Okay. I epic failed trying to go to Rakugo. I was talking about it with Emily, and I was interested in going. Then I saw the line for it. I was like, hey, is this the line for Rakugo? He's like, yeah. I was like, shit. I went to get you. You said you were going to see 5 centimeters. I came back. The line cut off right in front of me. This is at least the third time this happened to me at an Otakon. So if you went to the Rakugo, tell me how it was, okay? Rakugo was the comedian guy. Well, it's a form of comedy from Japan. I didn't think it was going to be that popular, but I was proved wrong. I got a slap in the face.
For the record, everybody who thinks that, because there's a lot of people out there who think I'm really good at making sense out of complicated movies and stuff, 5 centimeters per second confused the hell out of me. I had no idea what was going on.
That's because you missed some of it. You missed, like, the first part, and when I explained it to you, you said, oh, now it makes sense.
I was still completely mystified by it when I saw it. I was like, what the hell?
Dude, I did a whole episode on 5 centimeters. Do you want me to explain it to you again?
No, that's okay.
Well, anyway, I also went to the game show quiz, which actually took me about 15 minutes to take it. Oh my god, I feel so horrible. I feel horrible. Because I don't know the ages of each of the Fruits Baskets characters that are in the Zodiac. I don't know what Votom stand for.
And nobody knew what Votom stands for, remember?
Yeah, that's
everybody
true.
Every single person who took... Okay, when she starts bitching about doing badly on the test, you have to understand. I went to the game show. They talked about the results of the test. The average score was 1.5 out of 12.
Yeah, but that girl got 5.
The highest score was 5.
There was a girl who got 5. That girl is scary but awesome.
She didn't win.
Doug won. I bet Doug won. But we only was there for round one. Now, there was my adversary up there. His name is Doug, and he is like trivia champ. I seen him at like every trivia-based event at every con in my area that I go to. He is epic, and he was pwning everyone in round one. So I imagine that in round two through whatever was the ending, that he probably picked up. But what I was mad about was, when I saw, was watching the round, I was like, oh my god, I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that. I was like, why wasn't that on the test?
It really seems like the test was a lot harder than the actual questions in the contest, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It does make sense, because they want to, like, separate the wheat from the chaff.
Well, yeah, but then they should have even harder questions
No,
because
then
show.
They would have nobody. Wait. Yeah, you're right. Harder questions in the quiz show. That's good. But still, the test is hard, deliberately hard, to separate the wheat from the chaff, so you get really good competition. And then during the competition, you have, I guess it goes easiest to hardest. It goes harder by round. And plus, we only stuck around for round one, which I could have gotten my sleep. But I expected that guy to get into this. Especially when I saw him walking in. I didn't get to say hi to him because he was still at the test. And I had to go. Oh, man. Man, fuck that test. And plus, some of the anime I just didn't... I watched before or read the manga for. But I didn't remember it. Because I watched some of Votoms. And I didn't remember. I don't remember...
Nobody knew what Votoms stands for.
Okay, I got that. But I didn't know the two girls who stay with Yuko Ichihara, what their names were. I just like pink one and blue one. I don't know. I actually wrote that on the test. And then, you know, I did like a sarcastic emoticon. But anyway, yeah, that game show was pretty cool though. But how come they're always Jeopardy based? I mean, there's other ways to do it.
Because Jeopardy is the only quiz show Americans watch.
That's true. But there's also the Family Feud-based ones, the Otaku Family Feud, which I've seen at...
Those are just stupid.
Hey!
No, I'm sorry. Family Feud is a stupid idea for a show. Because you know what? Just because 90% of people... You know, you could go out and be like, you know... Most questions, most people don't know the answer to. 90% of the people would get it wrong. So it's like, well, 90% of the people said this, but it's wrong. Or too bad. The majority answer was...
Well, there's an anime version of that. That was done at Otakon, I think? No, Katsukon.
No, I know. They had a Family Feud category in the Jeopardy one.
Oh.
They had, like, a category. But that was, like, who's the most popular. Which, I guess, Family Feud's how thing works. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And they also had something special for the trivia contest. You could also play along with it with your text messaging. And people were, but still, I don't have the cash for that.
I'm also actually kind of amused that the people text messaging had much higher scores than the people playing.
That's because that test was hard, and some people don't watch that type of anime they were asking about. I hate Fruits Baskets. So seeing a Fruits Baskets question made me want to rip up the sheet. I hate a lot of things. I'm sorry. I'm bad.
You're a hateful person.
I am not a hateful person. Fuck you.
That's going in the promo, too.
Yeah, I should make a new promo with these clips. But then they're going to think that you're, like, always here. It's going to confuse people. But fuck it, I'm going to put it in anyway. Oh, yeah, I saw a bit of Funky Forest movie. That is a weird motherfucking movie. I didn't stay for the whole thing. I actually left after, like, I think the first few... gets or something, but my bro watched the whole thing and he's like, that movie is like Japanese kids in the hall, WTF. Japan's weird. Let's just say that.
I think the next actual thing I went to was the Old Farts Anime Appreciation Panel.
I went to Satoshi Kon fan panel before that. The Satoshi Kon fan panel, the guys were knowledgeable and they had passion, which is what I like. But also, their implementation was kind of weak. But I respect their passion for loving Khan's films as much as I do. They just kind of seem like blah people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, Old Farts Appreciation Panel fucking kicked ass!
Extremely violent.
Extremely violent!
Yeah, she does the voice. I can't do that guy's voice. There was this guy that was like... maybe 60.
He was old. It was this old black guy who's talking about all the extremely violent stuff.
From when he was a kid.
Yes, extremely violent anime.
And how awesome it was back when anime was extremely violent.
Yes, and he says violent or extremely violent, extremely violent. And I don't know why, but that became like a meme for both of us. Extremely I wish I got a sound clip of him saying extremely violent. And basically the panel was simple. Three older people, two guys, and this lady who looked like she belonged in Mardi Gras. But she was a very charismatic lady. I liked her. She was the MC for the thing, as well as an older otaku. One, I liked the name of it. Because I think the years before it was just called Older Otaku. But this time it's Old Farts Anime Appreciation Panel, which I think is awesome. It was a packed room at that. Also, it was just relaxed. At first, start out, everyone, name out your favorite anime. And then it's like, okay, now name out some older ones. And they would bring, someone would bring the mic to you, which is good, so everyone can hear your question. I like, they started doing that with panels now. And,
yeah, it's a good system.
Yes, Otakon, thank you for doing that. And, yeah, everyone said anime that was old, or they asked, I'm not sure if this is anime, but it was awesome. And the older people say if they remembered it or not, or stuff like that. Some of it, they kind of vaguely remembered because they were either older and had to work during those hours they were on. But, yeah, I mentioned Noozles and Little Bits, which are, I think, they're the first anime I ever seen in life. Nick Jr., early 90s, late 80s. Noozles and Little Bits, I forgot their Japanese names, but the Noozles is about koalas and Koala Walla Land and a girl who could bring them to life by noozling them, like noses, like Eskimo kisses. Little Bits were about little forest imps, creatures, whatever. And yeah, I remember the theme songs for both. I should do an episode on how much I loved those as a kid. I'm sure there's like old VHSs around somewhere. I know there is of Noozles. I've seen them in a dollar store before. I wish I bought them back then. I'm so stupid.
But yeah, it seemed basically be about pretty much anything before 1995.
Yeah, and actually, they say give Sailor Moon 15 more years. So I can't even count stuff from 95.
Yeah,
I think
right.
pre-90. Pre-1990, because that would make, because stuff in 90 would be 18 years old. And, yeah, some people yelled out a bunch of different shit. Stuff I didn't even hear of. Some of it I have heard of, thanks to Dubs That Time Forgot.
Yep.
Tobor.
People brought up Tobor and Amazing 3.
Oh, man. There's some old stuff that, and of course they brought up Star Blazers, Robotech, which is Macross. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Galaxy Express. I think. Oh, Candy Candy. I was like, why isn't anyone mentioning Candy Candy? I was going to raise my hand and get back up there so I could say Candy motherfucking Candy. I wasn't going to say it like that, but Candy Candy. But someone finally said it. I was like, yes, someone understands Candy Candy.
Sadly, Candy Candy was not extremely violent.
Hey, the way Anthony, spoiler. Well, can I really spoil a show that's like 30 years old?
No.
The way Anthony died was violent.
But was it extremely violent?
No, just plain violent. Extremely violent. Oh, man. If you did not go to that panel, you missed a very fun panel. We stayed for the entire thing. We were glued to our seats. And, oh my god, that was awesome. I really should have gone on the forum and said, hey, so-and-so panels were awesome, and just named off all the cool panels so they could have, like, a second run. Because I think a lot of panels, well, some panels I went to, deserved a second run. Alright, and then there was Otaku Studies.
I thought that was on Sunday.
No, that was on Saturday.
When?
After,
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah.
It was right after that, so we stayed in a room.
Yeah, and that was cool.
Yeah, and he had a Q&A afterwards, but most of the stuff he talked about is stuff I already knew anyway. But I thought he was going to, you know, maybe mention something new. I remember the guy's name, Lawrence Ng. So shout out to Lawrence Ng. Woo! And plus, we saw him in line for the Otaku game show.
Plus, he gave you a present.
Yes. At the Q&A, he was also giving out prizes, because he's like, I like it when people do that, so I'm going to do that.
So, you know, it was stuff like, who's the youngest fan in the room? And there was like a 9-year-old. So the 9-year-old got to come up and pick a manga. And then it was like, who's been coming to cons the longest? And you had to name the year of your first con. And I was really surprised. I was like third, even though my first con was all the way in 97.
Yeah, my first was in 2002, so I knew I wasn't going to get that.
And then he was like, okay, who spent the most on a single piece of anime merchandise? And people were shouting out that they bought like $300 this and $500 that.
Laserdiscs. And I shouted out, and I was going to be jokingly my con badge. And I was. And then he's like, that's everyone here. I was like, I lost my job. And I had to work as a maid to even get here. So this is expensive. And he's like, wow, you worked as a maid? Get on up here. Wow. Yeah. I can't believe I did it, but it was so worth it. Mom was worried that I would go to a psycho killer's place and there would be end of Vigida Odegao. And I understand her worry. But I was rewarded by going to Otakon, and I feel so happy. I feel like I really accomplished something. You know?
Yeah.
And I got Tenchi with it. Awesome. Yeah, I got the Tenchi Muyo manga, Volume 1. I thought it was like, I really wanted to Densha Ultico, but someone who was first got it, he's like, I'm so sorry, because he was sitting behind me. I was like, it's okay. Oh, is that that version? Yeah, that version's good, because there's like 3 published versions in America of the manga. And I was like, that's the best one, in my opinion. I flipped through the other 2, but I actually read that one. And what was after Otaku Studies?
Game show.
Oh yeah, we went to game show.
Oh, excuse me.
That's right. Damn. And we already talked about the game show.
And then there was the panel of horror.
What the fuck did we walk into? When he said we're doing a panel on Guro, I was like, oh, well, there's nothing else to do. And yeah, they showed some things. And
then, and at first it was kind of interesting because it was like the history of hentai. And they had like this 19th century woodcut.
The fisherman's wife's dream.
Yeah.
Or the fisherman's something.
Yeah. And it was like this 19th century woodcut of this chick being tentacle fucked by an octopus.
Yeah. I actually like that for some reason. I don't know why I like that painting, but I could see me putting that on my wall. Just as like the art next to the Basquiat. Yeah, so right next to the Basquiat here, we have Fisherman's Wife of her, the first tentacle rape ever. But actually, she's enjoying it. It was consensual. It was consensual tentacles.
That's why I said tentacle fucked, not tentacle rape.
Oh, man. But then it went, no, the minute it reached skull fucking.
And we don't mean like, we mean like cutting a hole.
No, okay. They passed, you know, cutting holes into people and then screwing the holes, but I mean, sticking it in their eye socket and screwing their skull. And then they showed a picture. I was like, you want to leave? You're like, I'm indifferent. Let's go. You were just like, whatever.
I was bored. I wasn't grossed out. I was just bored. I was like, this stuff is not hot.
Of course, it's not meant to be hot. But some That's people the thing get is, off
I think
that.
It's supposed to be hot.
Well, people do get off on Guro. There was this really scary person in the audience. And they were, like, all up into it. I was like, you see that person in the cow? That's scary. That's very scary. But anyway, after leaving that Doom panel,
we went to Machine Girl.
Machine Girl was awesome! Oh my god! Machine Girl! Dude, we gotta download that movie and show Paulo.
Yeah.
And Cyrus. And I gotta show Matt, Seth, Troy, Joe, and Marcus.
That movie was just totally parodying itself.
Extremely violent would be the words for that.
Yes.
All right.
It's Junior High School Ninja Squad!
Okay, it's just your good old-fashioned revenge flick where, you know, her bro is killed. And this family's kind of got bad luck on them because their parents been framed for murder, but they didn't do it, so they left them. And yeah, Junior Yakuza killed her bro. And what she's going to do? Get vengeance. It's just one big blood, just lots of blood everywhere. And the most kick-ass, but most horrible wife ever. She's like, you're too soft! I have something else you could do to punish the chef. So they fed him sushi that was made with his fingers that they cut off. Yeah. Oh my god. Watch Machine Girl! Seriously. Although there's one part I just really cringed at.
Drill bra.
I'm sorry, but no. No, no.
That was hilarious.
No, shut the fuck up. No. That made me squeeze my chest in agony. Machine Girl was like, WTF drill bra, no! Oh, yeah. And then we went to outside, saw my friend Jone, and we raided all of the ice cream trucks.
Yeah, this was awesome. There were ice cream trucks sitting outside of Otakon for the whole thing. Machine Girl ended at 2 in the morning, and there were ice cream trucks out there.
I think those ice cream trucks were there all day. And they weren't there in previous years. Unless they finally figured out that, hey, we can make fucking loads of money. There was, like, at least 5 of them surrounding both, Charles Street and the registration lobby. So, you could walk out any time of the day, get some ice cream. Any time of the night, get some ice cream. 2 a.m., Let's go to the ice cream truck.
Also, there's this cool thing that apparently they only have in Baltimore.
The double cone.
The double cone, which is like, it's like a cone with two...
Heads. Yeah.
And they put, you know, ice cream in each head.
Yeah, unless you ask for both flavors, then they'll just, like, do it one big, tall one.
Yeah.
Like they did Al's, but that was pretty awesome. See, that's the only thing I would like about Baltimore. They're double cone heads. And they're ice cream trucks that stay around. Man.
Though I have to admit, the double-headed cones did look a whole heck of a lot like penises.
Double-headed penises?
No, they looked like the balls in the penis.
Oh, when you put it upside down. I see what you did there. That was Saturday. Let's conclude and go to Sunday, shall we?
All right.
Sagu, 黒い影、真空の